Thank you. Excellent. We're going to go to Daniel tonight. Daniel, and he's such a good example. And I loved the story of Daniel as a child. I loved hearing the story of Daniel in Sunday school. Probably the first place I heard it was Sunday school. And I loved it when preachers preached on it. And I can remember years ago when the church first started, we were in Midland, and we were meeting in Bob Swaby's living room. By the way, pray for Brother Bob. His health has not been very good. He's, from what I heard from Brother Don, told me that he's moved in with Scott, and he's kind of helped taking care of him right now. But the Swabies were kind enough to open it up. But when it came to revival time, we're way back in the back roads of Midland, and so the first couple years when we had a tent revival, they set the tent up over here in Hanna Park, just where they play all the ball games at now. And the city allowed us to put a tent up there and have our tent revivals there. And then once we bought this property, I think we did one on the property here before we built the building, you know, in anticipation of the building being built. Why are you telling us all this? Well, I can remember being under the tent, probably a junior higher, and I heard evangelist Bob Kelly preach on Dare to Be a Daniel. Isn't it something? Because all these years later, here I was. I mean, folks, come on. If you grew up in church, how many hundreds and thousands of sermons have you heard? But I can still remember what God did in my heart that night. And because of that, and by the way, I remember sitting by Eric Nicholas. And I remember after the preacher was done, you know, he's saying, if you want to dare to be a Daniel, you come on up here. You know, I know that I need to go up there. And I'll say this to Eric's credit. He looked over at me, smacked me like this, and said, well? And I said, yeah. And he said, let's go. And you know, it's good to have a friend that's pulling you the right direction instead of the wrong direction. Here, I was a preacher's kid. I probably should have been smacking him, telling him. But, you know, even preacher's kids need some help every once in a while. So it's just because they hang around deacon's kids and they get messed up. But anyway. Dare to be a Daniel. So I'm going to steal his title. I'll never be able to preach it like he preached it. I wish I could. And I know a lot of other preachers have preached on this subject. But young people, you know, you've been on my heart all week, on my heart all week. All of our young people, you know, it's part of VBS and part of the prayer direction that we take. And I start thinking about how blessed we are. And young people, I look around at you. I mean, sometimes just during the offertory, during the special, I'll look at all these young ladies and I'll look over here at these knuckleheads over here. And I just think to myself, you know what? If they'll not listen to the devil, are you hearing your preacher? If they'll not listen to the devil can get you thinking crazy. The Bible says to cast down wicked imaginations. He can bring the craziest thoughts into your mind. He can convince you of things that's not true. He can make you think that the preacher's against you when the preacher's for you. Your parents are against you when they love you more than anybody else. I mean, he can get you thinking all kinds of crazy. And you're going to have to fight through some of that. We talked about it this morning, okay? You got to learn to resist the devil, okay? If you're thinking something that's not biblical, then where did that come from? And I heard a man once say this, and I stole it, but I think it's a great question. A young lady was really struggling in this area of demonic attacks in her life. And listen, don't freak out when somebody says that. Right. I'm talking about Christians suffer demonic attacks. He can't possess you, but he can oppress you. And she went and seen a biblical counselor. We have a lot of issues. And he asked her a question. She said, well, I think this, and I think this, and I think this. He said, are you thinking it or are you hearing it? That's a great question. Well, I thought this. You sure you thought it? Because the devil can put thoughts in your mind. The devil's real good at whispering in this ear and convincing you you came up with the idea. I don't know why I went that direction, but maybe that God needs to help somebody tonight, amen? But I want to say this. You know, one of the things that will keep you going in the right direction is to pick out young people in the Bible. I mean, the Bible uses the word children here, and I don't think Daniel was an 8 or 9 year old child, but compared to grown men, he was still considered a child. And so I don't know what that means. I don't know the exact age. Many people think he was in his teens, You know, you're not considered a man and able to go to war until you were 20 years of age. So there's a good chance he was still considered a child because he wasn't of age to be a man of war. So, hey, teenagers, he was probably a lot of your ages here. And here he is jerked out of a Christian home and a Christian country and an environment that served the Lord. I'm giving my introduction now before we read. And taken to a heathen nation and hand-selected. We're going to see why he was hand-picked here. And taken into the care and the tutelage of a eunuch that was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar to basically take these Chaldeans, these Israelites, and kind of brainwash them into pagan religion and pagan ways. He wanted to, listen, think about this. Isn't the devil still doing this? He wants to cherry pick the cream of the crop, the ones that have the most potential for the Lord. And he wants the devil then to take them, the devil then wants to take them and indoctrinate them and get him working on the other side instead of for the Lord. And so we're going to read down through chapter 1, just read the first 8 verses. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. So here's a young man that is brought into that type of circumstance. And yet when we get to verse number 8, we see that Daniel purposed in his heart, okay? He no longer had a Christian home. He no longer had a synagogue to attend. He no longer had, you know what, the surrounded by God's people, singing God's songs, worshiping the God of Israel. And yet there was some purposing that he had to do in his heart. We'll talk a little bit about Daniel. I hope it's a help to you. Verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, little g God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his little g God. What blasphemy. Think about that. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the prince's children, in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And unto the prince of the eunuchs gave names, and he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, remember, just a young man, Lord, probably 11, 12 years old, sat under a tent, over on Hannah Field. I can still close my eyes and think and picture Evangelist Bob Kelly up there, his wife April, 3 little daughters get up singing special songs before he preached, and then having my heart stirred because of the example of Daniel. And Lord, if that could be replicated in some way in the hearts of our young people today, that they would just purpose some things and just decide some things in their youth, long before the devil comes along, long before the devil and worldliness creeps in, if they just make up their mind on some things, Lord, help them to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you very much for standing. Daniel is an Old Testament man. I will say this, well worth studying. Yes, we live in a world starved of godly character. And young people, I'm going to talk about that tonight. You're going to hear the preacher say a lot about character. Daniel, yet God offers to every Christian, I think, a feast of virtue from the example of Daniel. And so, yes, the world's starved of godly character, but the Bible's not void of it. We may not be able to look around at the world and learn it, but listen to me, young man, you can look around this church and find it. Young ladies, you can look around this church and find examples of godly character. And so, and then, of course, the Bible also. Every young person ought to dare to be a Daniel. Chapter 1 finds him a relatively young man. He's disposed of his home, captive in a heathen land, yet he never left his faith. Listen, he never lost his bearings. He never surrendered his integrity. Now, young people, you're growing up in a world, I want to say this, and I want to almost apologize. I wish my generation was handing a better world to you than we are. But you know what? The Bible says that in the end times, things would wax worse and worse. And it hasn't been that my generation, at least some of us, haven't stood and fought against it. But you know what? God's plan is going to play out. And you're going to have to live in a... Listen, if it's waxing worse and worse, you know, parents raising these kids, that means these kids are going to be raised in a world that is worse than the ones you and your wife was raised in, okay? And if God tarries, their children will be raised in a world that is worse than they grew up in. And so, in order to live the Christian life and to be faithful to God, it helps to pick out examples like Daniel. He never left his faith. He never lost his bearings. He never surrendered his integrity. Daniel's life is one of discipline. I think of distinction. I think it's one of delight in the eyes of God. You know, kings would honor Daniel. Think about that. Think about that. Kings would honor him. His friends would follow him. By the way, enemies would try to destroy him. Yet God's good hand of blessing and protection remained upon this young man. And so I'm going to talk, like I said, about character. Character, character. And preacher, what is character? Well, A.W. Tozer said this, as the excellence of steel is strength, and the excellence of art is beauty, so the excellence of a man is moral character. Billy Sunday said this, your reputation is what people think about you. Your character is what God knows about you. D.L. Moody said this, character is what a man is in the dark. He also said this, if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. Oh, these are the kind of things we need to have said out loud to us. Great men came before us. Men of character. Boy, would to God we'd go sit at their feet. George Washington said this, I hope I shall possess firmness and virtue enough to maintain what I consider the most enviable of all titles, an honest man of character. Of character. What is character? Character is an unflinching resolve to live by a biblical code of honor. I want to say that again. Character is an unflinching resolve to live by a biblical code of honor. And so we let the Bible teach us how we're supposed to live, teach us how we're supposed to talk, teach us how we're supposed to think, teach us about how we're supposed to act. And once we learn what the Bible says, we let that become our code of honor. And so, young men, it's so important that you develop your character. Did you hear what George Washington said? I hope I shall possess firmness and virtue enough to maintain what I consider the most enviable of all titles, an honest man of character. Young men, 20, 30, 40 years from now, you know what? When you're on up in the years, if somebody points to you and says that is an honest man of character, they may have paid you one of the greatest compliments that you could ever receive. So let's just look at a few of the ingredients of godly character and some of the things that make Daniel stand out. First of all, I want to challenge this to a group of young people and listen to me. And this is for all of it. All this is good for all of us. But I'm speaking mostly to our young people tonight. Number one, Daniel applied his mind to learn. He applied his mind to learn. Look in verse 3 and 4. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children whom was no blemish, but well-favored, listen, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. So you know what, folks? Listen to me. I want to say this. I understand there's all kinds of different ways to learn. And I understand if you will, every day of your life can be a classroom. And God never ceases and never lacks opportunity to teach people who are willing to learn and wanting to learn and hungry to learn. And so I understand there's a lot of different ways to learn. Some of you young men that went to outdoor camp, you know what? Some men that were very skilled in some of the outdoors type skills, you know what, took some time to teach you some things. I know Brother Val was involved in that. Brother Walt was involved in that. Brother Nathan Walton. And you know what, folks? There were lessons that could be learned through those things. But you know, I want to just stand up here and say something, okay? If we're not careful, and dads, moms, listen to me. If we're not careful, we diminish the importance of book learning, okay? I mean, you know what? He was skillful in some things. And of course, the first one that's mentioned is that he was skillful in all wisdom. Where are you going to get wisdom from? So when I talk about book learning, let's start with this book, okay? I mean, young people, I think if you read The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, you'll find this statement. The most important goal of your teenage years is to increase in wisdom. The most important goal of your teenage years is to increase in wisdom. Where do you get that? From the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is the principal thing. That's what the Bible says, the principal thing. It says, with all thy getting, get it, get it, get it. Now, young men, that means you can't just show up to Sunday school and kind of sit there and stare off into space. It's time you start listening. It's time every single week, you know. Mom and Dad, get you in the car. What'd you learn today? Jesus. Okay, you learned more than that, okay? It's about time that you grabbed a hold of some principles. Come on, grabbed a hold of some Bible precepts, some things that you are going to put into your code of honor and the way that you live your life. And you're going to use those Bible principles to develop into a wise young man, a wise young lady, a wise young lady. Wisdom is the principal thing. And so I'm talking about book learning, but folks, listen to me, it doesn't stop there. It said he was cunning in knowledge, and it said that he had understanding when it comes to science, real science, by the way, not science that the Bible's warned about in the New Testament that is science falsely so-called, okay? There's false science, and there's real science, okay? But this is a man that developed in these areas. He was cunning in knowledge. You know, I think you could walk up to Daniel and you could bring up almost any subject, and I think he could have a halfway intelligent conversation with you about it. Now, folks, that doesn't happen if you're not paying attention. That's not happening. Come on, young people. If you're more worried about finding what word goes in the blank in your pace, so that you can get through it instead of really reading it and absorbing it and understanding it and knowing it and be able to carry on an intelligent conversation about it later on. And so, you know what? I want to just say this. Yes, there's a classroom out there everywhere. The nature is a classroom, and you can get wisdom and knowledge from talking to men, and like Jeremiah will get me to the great man. But you know what? There's also something called books. And young people, I don't want you to waste your school years. And I want you to spend, and I love what we started this last year. I went in beginning of this past school year and I talked on the importance of reading. And we donated a large amount of money to to Brother Young and to Miss Biber to assist him to go out and find and expand our school library. A couple thousand dollars that I gave them and turned them loose buying books. I've never seen two people more happy in my life. And I love the result of this. I love that the kids are getting excited about it. Listen, dads, listen to me. Well, I'm not a reader. Well, don't pass that disease on to your kids, okay? And don't poo-poo it. Now, that's a Greek word, okay? Don't talk it down, okay? Don't diminish it. Encourage it, encourage it, encourage it. I'm so glad that I had a mom that, you know what, we had something, it's an antique now. I don't even know if they have them anymore. It's called the library card. You know, and we used to go, and I know you got to be careful when you go to the library. I get it. But you know what? There's also a lot of good books in there. And I used to go, we used to go on a regular basis to Brazil Library, and Dad would mom would let us check out. I don't know how many books they'd let us take home, but I always maxed it out. And you know, by the way, I grew up running through the woods. I grew up climbing trees. I grew up building forts. I spent 3 days building a raft, pushing it out into the river to watch it sink. I mean, I've been there. I've done it, okay? Hunted, fished, did all that. It does not make you unmasculine to be a reader. Leaders are readers. You know what? Some of the children of Israel, you know what? They didn't get picked to be in the palace. They weren't given this opportunity. They were out there digging ditches or building, you know, whatever Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to build. Okay, I'm just saying, sometimes I think if we're not careful, come on, country people, look at me, all right? Let's stop glorifying ignorance. Sometimes there's, I mean this, sometimes there's almost a proudness about the fact of how little we know and how little we've read. But I want to say this to you young people, take your schooling seriously. Okay, read books. It's summertime. Read books. Oh, good, I don't have to touch a book and I don't have to look at a book for a whole 3 months. Well, that's foolish. Read books. You want to be reading. One of the best things I can tell you, parents, is you know what? When our kids got to, when they were real little, they had a set bedtime. We put them down to bed, turned off the light, and they went to bed. When they got a little bit older, we still had a time for them to go to their bedroom, a bedtime, but you know what? They didn't have to go to sleep right away. And if they wanted to stay up and read, they could stay up and read. Well, come on, if you're a kid, would you rather stay up and read or would you rather go right to sleep? And we provided them good books. You say, how old were they when you stopped having a bedtime? I think the day after they got married, we stopped doing that. But you say, do you think they need a bedtime? No, we needed them to have a bedtime. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you. So I won't go too far that direction. I'm just saying, I don't understand it. Who's, by the way, are the inmates running the asylum? Are the kids telling you when they're going to go to bed? You got something upside down and backwards, okay? All right, so get a hold of that thing, okay? But you know what? We did it very purposefully. I wanted them, you know, if they're reading something good right before they go to bed, I do it to this day. I read, I'll go to bed, me and my wife both go to bed, and we'll sit there and we'll read a book. And you know, because a lot of times I got so much on my mind. Come on, we all do, don't we? And it's hard to shut it all off. But if I read a good book and then till my eyes are drooping, and then I fold the page over, stick the bookmark in, and I lay it down, and I turn off the light, I can roll over and go usually right to sleep. And if I'm, my mind, the last thing it does is feed on something good. Amen. It's amazing what it'll do to help your sleep. Amen. And it gives you cool dreams too. Amazing. Cool dreams. And so, oh, okay. All right. Be teachable. Don't be a know-it-all. Young people, are you listening to me? Don't be a know-it-all. I used to, Brother Young, I appreciate Brother Young. He does such a good job. I can't say it enough. I don't get up here and say it enough. Folks, listen to me. He's doing a great job in our Christian school. He is doing a great job. And, you know, Dad had me do it for a while. And so I think that way I could learn and then teach everybody not to do all the things that I did so that they could be good teachers one day. But let me tell you something. I learned as a supervisor in a school, you can't teach somebody that already knows it all. I had one student, and I'm going to tell you something. You know, that's why I had to get out of there. I've been in jail, you know. But and this young man, and he's like 14 years old, and he puts his flag up, and he's stuck. Or he doesn't put his flag up, he just sits there and stares at it. So I tell him, if you're stuck, what are you doing? If you're not doing something and you're stuck, put your flag up, let me help you. But he was proud. Are you listening to me? He was too proud to ask for help. He had this big problem of just admitting that there was something he didn't know. He was a know-it-all. By the way, his parents were both know-it-alls. Are you listening to me? And so, you know what? I would try to help the kid. And you know what? And I'd say, well, let's go back and let's review. And every time I'd tell him something, he'd say, I know. And then I'd say, let's tell him something else. He said, I know. And I'd start telling him something else. He said, I know. And I said, stop. No, you don't. If you knew what I was explaining, you'd be done. Now stop saying I know every time I'm trying to tell you something. You don't know. I know more than you. I know things you don't know. Listen, so you can get this done. Then he'd pout. I don't know where he's at today, but you'll probably track him down. And you know what? He's probably still an I know guy. You know, he's probably still failing in life. Are you listening to me? Good night. Let's have a little bit of humility. I don't know everything, and neither does anybody else. And you know what? I'm around people all the time that know something more than I do in a certain area. And I ask, I'm telling you, 10 times more questions than I answer questions. I've never lost my curiosity to learn. Okay, so be teachable, apply yourself. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Pray to be a better student. Ask God to give you a hunger for wisdom, an ability to understand, an ability to master what you're trying to learn in school and what you need to learn in life. I want to hurry. Number two, purpose in your heart to do right. So number one, apply your mind to learn. I'm talking about developing godly character. Apply your mind to learn. Throw away your know-it-all attitude. Be teachable and learn. Read. Ask questions. I was having a conversation recently with a bunch of older preachers. We were just, you know, guys about my age, some of them a little older, and a young preacher come up, and we said hello to him, and I know the kid, and he just has been pastoring a few years, and he immediately took over the entire conversation. And for the next 15 minutes, we got to hear all of his stories and all the things that he's doing and how amazing he is and what he's accomplishing and what he preached last Sunday. By the way, I didn't care. But you know what older guys will do? Huh? Oh, that's good. Huh? And he finally smiled and said, talk to y'all later. And I thought, talk to y'all? Talk at y'all later. And he turned around, and that kid, in so many areas of his life, listen to me, is an idiot. He's doing stupid stuff in the ministry. He's posting stupid stuff on the internet. Did he walk up to a group of older men and say, hey guys, I don't get an opportunity to talk to men of the last generation. You know, could you help me with some things? Do you see anything in my ministry, you know? And you know, could you give me some? What happened? What happened even in Christianity? Well, we've just lost this ability to learn anything. And so think now, purpose in your heart to do right. Now, young people, you can do that tonight. But you know what? You're not going to just do it once and be done with it. This is something you need to go back to over and over. And you purpose in your heart. Verse number 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. There was some things of Babylon that they were going to try to involve him in. And he just made up his mind, I'm not going to defile myself. Any education that makes you smarter than the Bible is not an education at all. True knowledge and true wisdom is never disconnected from the fear of the Lord. Bible says just the opposite. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now this matter of purposing in your heart to do right. I'm going to do right when people are watching. I'm going to do right when mom and dad are in the room. I'm going to do right when the preacher is paying attention. I'm going to do right when the youth leader is observing me. But wait a minute. I'm going to do right when I'm by myself. I'm going to do right when nobody knows about it. I'm going to do right when mom and dad isn't around. I'm going to do right when the preacher's not around. Now think about that. Theodore Roosevelt, it is necessary for the welfare of the nation that men's lives be based on the principles of the Bible. Did you hear that? That's a president of the United States. It is necessary for the welfare of the nation that men's lives be based on the principles of the Bible. He also said this, to educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. You know what that's called? Wisdom. To educate a man's mind and not his morals is to educate a menace to society. And there's a bunch of menaces to society that's taken over the universities in the United States of America. He said this also, Theodore Roosevelt, one of my favorite presidents, by the way. You ought to read his life story. You ought to read everything he wrote. You ought to read about him. He wasn't a perfect man. Don't come back to me with the three things you found out about him. Okay, nobody's perfect. Don't throw away all the good, 99% of the good, because you found one bad thing about him. But he said this, a thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education. That is so true. That is so true. There's all kinds of folks that have a college education and they're ignorant. Have you ever watched Jeopardy? When they have the Bible category? And you got these brilliant graduates of the universities and they're picking, you know, mythology and they know every one of them and pop culture and they know every one of them. And the last one they choose is the Bible. And they finally, there's nothing left, so the Bible for 100. Okay. He built the ark when the Lord said that he was going to send the flood. Bing. Moses? I mean, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, educated fools. Come on, educated fools. Now think about this. Folks, listen to me. I've already said I'm not against the right kind of education. And I'm not against, you know what, learning everything that's healthy and holy that you can learn. But it all ought to be filtered through what you know about this book as far as what you believe and what you don't. Daniel Webster said this, education is useless without the Bible. Where are those great men in our government today? Daniel here in this chapter purposed in his heart to do right. Daniel was faced with a decision. He was offered meat that had been offered idols. He was offered Babylonian wine. And yet the Bible says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. He knew, and that the Bible said, Proverbs 23, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babblings, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Now think about this, folks. Oh, you know what? Daniel said, listen, I'll be willing to do whatever they ask me to do as long as they don't ask me to go against this book. And if they go ask me to go against this book, I've already purposed in my heart, you know what? I'm going to be loyal to God. Come on, it's better to obey God than man. And so he just purposed in his heart. Now, he did this at a young age. We're talking about character. Young people, listen to me. Great character determines to do right. It determines, it purposes to do right. Now, purpose early in your life to do the right thing, to do the right thing. Purpose in your heart to read, believe, and obey the Bible. Read and believe and obey the Bible. Purpose in your heart to abstain from anything that would destroy your mind or your body. Purpose in your heart to raise your family in church one day when you get old enough to have one. Purpose in your heart to live for God all the days of your life. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And so we see the character of Daniel. You know what, folks? Boy, this is good for us. You think about this. He applied his mind to learn. And he purposed in his heart to do right. And then while doing those things, let me give you the last one. Daniel maintained an excellent spirit. Now you're in Daniel. If you still have your Bibles open, go over to chapter 5. Let's look at a verse there. Chapter 5, verse number 12. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 12. In verse number 12 of Daniel chapter 5, for as much as an, boy, if I was a young person, I'd underline those next two words, excellent spirit. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. Turn over a chapter, Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 3. Daniel 6, verse number 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because, and there it is again, I'd underline it again, an excellent spirit was in him. You know, folks, listen to me. There's young people that have given themselves to education, and they are applying their minds to learn, and they are purposing in their hearts to do right, but a lot of times their spirit's terrible. And you know what, folks, the spirit of a man, I'm going to tell you something. It's so important that you, listen, do the right thing, listen to me, with the right attitude. Yes. Do the right thing with the right attitude. Not everything in Daniel's life was easy. You read this, we don't have time to go through it all. Not everything in Daniel's life was easy. Not everything that happened to him was fair. I mean, folks, he basically got set up so that he either had to make a choice to stop praying or to be thrown in a lion's den. You know what? He purposed in his heart. Did he hesitate? Did he hide it? Open the windows like I always do, pray. Yep. Ended up in a lion. Was that fair? No, there was a bunch of people that were conniving and a bunch of people that were jealous and a bunch of people that had it in for him, and they set him up. Right. But you know what? He did the right thing, and he still kept an excellent spirit. Now, young people, listen to me. A lot of things that happen in life isn't going to seem fair. I'm just trying to break it to some of you young ladies, okay? You know what? Whoever told you life was fair, they weren't truthful to you, okay? Life isn't always fair. And when you feel like it's not been fair, but you still can have the right spirit and the right attitude, okay, come on, I'm just going to tell you, I didn't always agree with my mom and dad's decisions about where I could go and where I couldn't go and what I could do and what I shouldn't do. I didn't always agree. I didn't always think it was fair. Now, there's the challenge. Anybody can have a good spirit when everything's going your way. Everybody can have a good spirit as long as mom and dad's letting you do what you want. You know, a lot of young people have a good spirit when they hear yes, 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 yes. But the first time they hear no, and then all of a sudden, where'd that good spirit go? All right, think about this. Every one of us need to be corrected from time to time. Every one of us need to be reproved from time to time. How your spirit is when you're corrected and how your spirit is when you're reproved, read the book of Proverbs. It tells a lot about you. Fools hate correction. Fools hate reproof. And boy, they can go from a smile to an up-down smile, upside-down smile just in a heartbeat. They can go from a happy spirit to an angry, wrathful spirit in a heartbeat just because somebody told you no. Come on, church members, let me help you. I say this. Everybody can be a good church member. It's not that hard to be a good church member. You know what? Everybody's a good church member until they have to be corrected. Now listen to what I say next. Then they have opportunity to become a great church member. How you handle correction will separate the men from the boys. Because it's just not the kids that have a problem with it. Kids are watching when mom and dad are corrected. Okay, when they're sitting in here and they know what the preacher preached from the Bible was not happening in their home. And they watch you go home and have the preacher for dinner because you can't handle biblical correction. And you know what they do then? They say, I guess that's the way I'm supposed to live too. So when they correct me, I'm gonna give them the same attitude they give the preacher. Listen, you can't teach selective rebellion. You can't teach selective rebellion. I'm helping some of you right now, okay? You know what? You know how to keep that excellent spirit? It's just to understand that God's ultimately in control. And folks, by the way, let's all bring to church, you know, a 5-gallon bucket of forgiveness and a 5-gallon bucket of humility, and let's continue to grow in the Lord. Because, you know, as long as everybody's patting you on the back and patting you on the head, you know, you're a great Christian, but when somebody has to bring something to your attention that you're doing wrong, what are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? And Daniel faced some unfair treatment, and yet here he is. By the time we get into these verses, he's not a kid anymore. He's already into the next king that he's serving, and he still has that excellent spirit. Oh, I want to raise up some young men that'll dare to be Daniels. I want to raise up some young ladies that say, I'm going to apply my mind to learn. I'm going to be teachable. I'm going to have a teachable spirit. I'm going to apply myself. I'm not going to be afraid to ask questions. I'm going to pray and ask God to make me a better student. I'm going to purpose in my heart at a young age right now to do the right things. And you know what? Even if I don't understand what God's doing in my life, I'm going to keep the right spirit. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of Daniel. What an amazing man, and what a blessing he is. To read his life, to study his life, a man that would rather choose to go to a lion's den than to forsake his prayer life. Wow. There's so much that we can learn from Daniel. From a young age, he just said, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to have the right attitude. I'm going to have the right spirit. I'm not going to pass up an opportunity to learn. I'm going to take learning seriously. I'm going to read. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to have a teachable spirit. I'm going to have a correctable spirit. And then we read about what you did with this great man. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, help young people to aspire to this level of character. We pray these things in Jesus' name.